Peace, grace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To accomplish something is all right, provided you did it in the right way. For example, it is great to have $1 million. But how did you get it? Did you earn it? Did you steal it? Or were you lucky with the lottery? Your method of getting it is very important. Now, some churches are growing, some are just maintaining their own, some are shrinking, and some have closed their doors. The question is, what method did they use? What method did they use to get people to come in? What method did they use to hold the people together? What method did they use to kind of drive people away? Now, my home church, when I was a member there, went from 250 to 600 in a relatively short period of time. I can take none of the credit because after I was gone in the seminary and came back a few years later and grown to 1,400. No thanks to me. Well, how did our pastor do it? Good sermons, good Bible content, good music, good liturgy, and a winning personality. His sermons always clearly brought in the gospel. On the other hand, Joel Osteen packs them in by the thousands every week. I was sick for a long period of time after my operation, and I watched him every Sunday faithfully. And I have to say his messages, I won't call them sermons, his messages were very interesting, if not spellbinding. Boy, once you listen, you had to listen to the whole end. But they lacked any biblical content. He was preaching things people wanted to hear, especially those who were trying to make a success of themselves. Dr. Oswald Hoffman, how many of you know the name? Raise your hand. No Dr. Oswald Hoffman crusade. Nothing was attached to his name. And yet he preached every week over the radio to thousands and thousands of people. He had his rallies, often drawing over 1,000. Probably in his lifetime having reached more people than the famous radio and television preachers. But his name was never attached to anything. Dr. Hoffman was on the Lutheran Hour, and he never was about himself. Now, within our own synod, we have churches that are built around the gospel, thanks be to God. And some churches are built around other things, including the pastor. Recently, the church I served in Texas split in two, and the new churches split around contemporary worship. The people who broke away wanted to be entertained, basically. That wasn't the way John the Baptist operated. His method was not about himself. His lifestyle, his clothing, his humility did nothing to attract anyone. His method, among other things, was to tell it like it is. We heard it read. You brood of vipers, who warned you to come? Right to the people. The other gospel says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came there. He put them on notice. You didn't come here for the right purpose, so listen to me. The axe is laid to the root. When I was clearing my property in Florida many decades ago, I would take my tractor and bump a tree, see where the roots were, then axe them. Then I could rock it and snap that root. In other words, when he said the axe is laid to the tree, the time for that is now short. He preached with urgency. And then he said, don't brag about other things. Don't trust in the wrong things. Just because you've got a DNA that says Abraham doesn't matter anything. God can raise stones to do the same thing. John's method was to be specific. When people ask him what they should do, John gave specific answers to specific people. Moreover, he spoke to the people who were there, not to those who were not there. And he spoke to matters that bothered them. To the average person, he said, hey, you got two coats? Give one away to someone who doesn't have any. Got extra food? The same thing. They're tax collectors. They were told, now, collect this much tax, and the rest of it you can collect belongs to you, and they would be sometimes really cheating the people. So John said, hey, don't take anything more than necessary. The soldiers, Jesus said, if somebody forces you to go 1 mile, do them better, go two. The soldiers had the right to compel somebody to take their pack for a mile. So now John is telling them specifically, don't do that and be content and quit grumbling. Specifically, think about the Ethiopian and Peter, or rather Philip. Philip caught up with him. And the man was doing what? He was riding in a chariot. Well, what kind of a chariot was it? How many wheels did it have? Two or four? What kind of horses or oxen or whatever was drawn? Those wheels, how many spokes or were they solid? You know, something, it doesn't matter. Why bother with it? What matters in that parable or that story was that Philip was able to share the gospel with this person and bring him to baptism. Everything else. I've heard sermons that would tell all those things. I don't care about that. Do you? Do you? You want to know how many spokes in the wheel? No, you don't care. You can speak up a little bit. Now, we read here, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hey, Jesus was right around the corner. All these hundreds and hundreds of years of waiting for the Messiah was now here. The time is urgent. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to assemble together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more, and especially as you see the day drawing near. This is our call also to be like John the Baptist, to have the sense of urgency, to be direct. And I'm going to say this to you who are here. You need to be saying it to those who are not here. How many people have come to the altar and made their confirmation vow? What does Ecclesiastes 5 say about making a vow? When you vow a vow unto the Lord, do not delay in repaying it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed about, Ecclesiastes says. You have an obligation. Am I my brother's keeper? You remember that one? The answer is yes, you are. Be a John the Baptist. Go out to these people who are negligent in their attendance and tell them to be here in this house of prayer. The day is approaching, the end of times. The Bible says that day is now closer than when we first believed. That's an axiom. Of course it is. But that day is one thing. Their day is something else. Your day is something else. Luther called it a Stundlein, a little moment in your personal history when God will send a holy angel on your shoulder and tap you and say, come, for all things are now ready. If you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, you're not. But it's too late. What are you going to do to these people that the Lord has laid on you to say something to? You can go to their casket and say, boy, I'm sorry that I didn't invite you to church. I'm sorry that I didn't share the gospel with you. Will that get them into heaven? I don't think so. Behold, the time is at hand. You have your marching orders from Jesus Christ himself. What did he say? You shall be my witnesses. And if not now, then when? What about that neighbor, that fellow worker, that club member, that relative? Are you going to wait until they've died? Jesus says to us, go out into the highways and byways and lanes and hedges. And what's that next word? And come. Compel them to come in. That's strong language. Go out there and be a compelling witness. Tell them of the love of Jesus Christ. Tell them how they need to be in God's house so that they can hear the gospel, so that the Holy Spirit can work on their hearts. Let them know that we're all sinners. Nobody here is a goody two-shoes. We're all sinners. They, we the same. The difference is, if we say we have no sin, we're lying. We're not fooling God. We're not fooling our spouse who knows us. We're not fooling a lot of people. But if we confess our sins, now, God is faithful, just, and actually will and does forgive our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I put thy sins away from thee, and I promise not to look at them any longer. Let them come to this church where they can hear the gospel, and the Holy Spirit can work on their hearts, and they can be about their business, as Luther says, that I might be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is most certainly true. Think for a moment of this hymn we sang, I think, last week. On Jordan Bank, the Baptist cry. Not the first Baptist people, but John the Baptist. What is he proclaiming? The Lord is nigh. That angel is nigh. That's going to tap you or them on the shoulder. Who here knows for sure you're going to wake up in the morning? Who here knows for sure next day, next week, that person will be in a fatal accident? You don't know that. Be urgent. John the Baptist, a very special messenger from God whose example we ought to follow. I want you to think now of just one person that you know in your sphere of influence that needs to be in this church. Let the Lord lay that person on your heart, and then be a John or a Joanne the Baptist and share the precious message and the invitation to them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us arise and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed.